are going to be starting a conversation that I believe is very essential for us as a ministry. The intent is to get us more effective in our evangelism and in our discipleship pursuits. And we have a lot of work on our hands, and so that means that we need to have these kind of conversations in the period which we find ourselves, so we can be effective at the work God wants us to do. We're going to take it in bits and minor pieces, if I'll call it. We'll just take it in bits, just a bit, just take a bite, you know, and just bits, just a bite, and then we're going to be moving forward. Matthew chapter 28. And of course, like we always will do, we're going to look at something important that should help our evangelism and discipleship. We're going to look at something very interesting, if I'll call it. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is communicating to, you know, his disciples, and he's telling them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, verse 18. Then in verse 19, he tells them, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word we know to teach is the word matheteo. It means to make disciple, to teach, to make a disciple. To make a disciple. And we said the word mathetes is the pupil or the student. Now I'm seeing how the conversations we have on Sunday and several other conversations can all come together. So we can be well vexed in every other area, as we should. So Jesus is telling his disciples again, go make disciples. And he tells them and gives them an instruction again. He says, how are they going to make disciples? He says, teaching them to observe. Teaching them to observe. So, indirectly, what Jesus is meaning here is that there is some form of leadership on every believer. Some form of leadership. Because every believer disciples. But how are you going to make disciples if you are not first a disciple that has been made? In fact, I always say that to myself, that the end of every ministry gift, which is the ministry gift of an apostle, a prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, will be to raise people in the same office or to make them effective in whatever the person is effective at, who is the ministry gift. So if the ministry gift is executed well, you're going to have the people raised for the work of a ministry, and definitely they will do it in the similitude of what they've been raised under. So Jesus saying, go make disciples, is telling you, go be a leader to other people. Then he gives them how. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've taught you. And of course, teaching is going to be by precepts and by example. So, automatically, every believer has a responsibility to make disciples. Not going to get into making disciples, the expression, not going to get into it, but then the activity of making disciples will be the activity of leading other people. So if you're here and you're listening to me as well, God's intent and plan for you is to be a disciple maker. Means you have people that you are responsible for. You see that Jesus' disciples followed him wherever he went. They followed him to Galilee, they followed him to Jerusalem, they followed him to Nazareth, they followed him to everywhere. They just found themselves following. Capernaum, they were there. Where he sleeps, they sleep. Where he teaches, they listen to what is being taught. Where he performs a miracle, they are trained in the art of performing miracles. They learn via example of how he handled issues, how he handled the Pharisees, how he handled the Sadducees, how he handled the publicans. They learned by those examples, his judgments in situations and circumstances. They learned how he handled Zacchaeus, learned how he handled, you know, the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. They paid attention to his words. That's an example. So Jesus calls every believer to be an example. Now, if you were God, because the world now is 8 billion plus and counting and more, right? So if you were God, you're not going to greet one person to disciple 8 billion people or 100 people all over the world to cater for 8 billion. Some of you don't know 8 billion. That's why you're saying that. Oh, it's possible. 8 billion people. In fact, I did a study on discipleship. It's actually very much effective for someone to disciple at least 120 people. That's the max. Now, pay attention. I don't mean preaching to 120 people. I'm saying hearing from 120 people daily, speaking to them continually, daily, teaching all of them the word of God daily, finding out how the academics is doing daily, their relationships are doing daily, praying for them daily. So Jesus has a vision in mind. But it's possible to raise 120 people, and those 120 people all have 120 people after them, under them. And those 120 people raised as leaders who have other people also under them. And the chain goes on and on and on and on. So if Jesus tells us to make disciples, people of God, he didn't have water in his mouth where we can say we're not really sure as to what he is saying. He actually means it. Now, he wouldn't also say something that he's not giving you the ability to do. So if he has told you to be a discipleship, a disciple maker, that means he's putting you an ability to make disciples. Now, we're going to be looking at, you know, some arms of leadership and how leadership is seen in certain individuals, which the world calls certain, but then in God's plan, everybody should have those traits, especially when you have been given to learning over a period of time, because with the training will come a growth. That growth will compel you to become a discipler. So I believe in the kingdom with which we dwell, everyone has that grace to make disciples. And that is, to an extent, some form of leadership. That's why if you come into Christ, you say, I'm not, as for me, I just want to be at the back. You can be at the back, which I say I would not advise you to. But then, you shouldn't have it in mind that you, God has not given it to you. In fact, I am a definition of somebody who was never a Li, not to talk of Da. I'm a clear definition of it that it never crossed my mind. I never dreamt about it. I had never in my life got up and said I was going for a role from KG primary 1 to 6, JHS 1 to 3, SS 1 to 3, university 1 to 4. I've never dreamt about it, and I had never desired it. But the fact that I never desired it does not mean God in His word has not told me what to do. Now let's take away the word pastor. It's just the word discipler. Let's take away the word pastor. You know, pastor is shepherd, shepherd is poimen. Poimen means a leader of the head or one that watches over the head. So when we take away pastor, it's just someone who looks out, who teaches via precepts and example. And that's for everyone. So I'm trying to clear up that mind from a lot of you listening to me who have it in their hearts that as for me, God has not made me anything in His church. I'm just supposed to come and disappear. He says, go make disciples. Now, Jesus had disciples. He had 12 disciples. Extendedly, there were 70. Much more extendedly, there were 120. Now, He tells these to go and make disciples. Brings me down to my bottom conversation, is that there is a leader on the inside of you. No matter what you try to say, there is that . Now we're going to be looking at some of the things that help our discipleship. Could be out of here in a couple of minutes. And I'm just going to be giving you just only 5 for now that I'm led to give you. And I'm saying it's for everybody. That's why I took time communicating Matthew 28, carrying you along to see how that He tells you to go make. If He tells you to go make, of course, that means you have the ability to make. But then you must have been made as well, so you can be able to make. And that means everyone who undergoes a training is certainly going to end up in some form of leadership, some form of responsibility. And then we're going to look at these things that help our discipleships, so that you don't feel bad when you teach people something. You also don't feel bad when you instruct in a certain way. Because that is how you are going to be able to lead and to make the people. You know, sometimes some of you, what you need are sharp rebukes without any sentiments. That is what will save your life. Yeah, that is what will save you. Yeah, sometimes what you also need is a warm, lovely approach, you know, just carrying you along. And that's what also saves your life. But you can't say that you always want soft, loving flows. But then you don't want to be taught in a certain way. Well, that was just by the way. But we're looking at some five, what I call them, fingers of leadership, which I said is for everyone. It's for everyone. Number one, we're looking at just one today, this evening. Tomorrow we'll look at another one. Then we'll continue like that. So this kind of leadership is so important. My ability to inspire, or their ability to inspire. I said, it's in you. It's the first trait. The ability to inspire. The ability to lead. To stir up desires, to stir up courage, to awaken faith, to cause people to move in a certain direction. Of course, by what you say, who you are, and how you live. You know, you find some people, God's made you a leader. But then, they don't inspire anyone. Nobody sees them and sees courage, faith. Nobody sees their actions and says, wow, that's a worthy example. You know, nobody looks at them and is moved in a certain way to follow them. So that ability to inspire refers to that ability to do things and to make others do things too. It's to say things and to make people say things too. To think in a certain way and to make people think in that certain way too. It's to have a strong drawing influence. On people. That's why the level to which you are able to inspire people to follow you, listen to you, come to church, join in on prayers is a mark of a true leader, which you are. Don't say, I'm not. I've already shown you. Disciples don't fall down from heaven. He says, they are to be made. You make them. You make them. You make them by your actions. You make them by your words. You make them by the way you communicate, by the way you think, the way you live your life. They are to be. So all of these things, before you realize, it results in making people. Now, if I as a pastor, I'm not able to make disciples, that's going to be a problem. Because in making them, you're going to pick them from somewhere and drive them to another place. That's your responsibility. You're going to pick them from somewhere and you make them do the things that they will not want to do in their natural self. You're going to pick them from point A of being without prayer, cold, quiet. Unflowing, uninterested in church, uninterested in serving God. That's point A. Not interested in even loving God and doing what He wants you. You're going to pick them from point A, and then you drive them by inspiring them to point B. I was talking to somebody some time back. I think the person is listening to me. And the person said, Pastor, hey, I didn't know this person was so energetic. I said, no, that's not it. He said, while we were singing, the person saw the person when they came in the first time to church. Right? Then, a few weeks later, person's all over the place. And they said, wow. So I smiled. That's what a true leader can do by the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we all have. You pick someone from point A. You pick someone from a point where the person is not what you really want. And then you lead them into becoming something else. You pick someone from somewhere, you're going to pick them by inspiring them. Now, don't listen to me out of context, because I'm going to use the word not forcing or cohesion. But then I've taught you anakazo, I've taught you baazo, which is compelling, because they are also setting, there's another trait of leadership that compels. That's why there's a democratic leader and then there's an autocratic leader. Both of them are leaders. But in this context of inspiring, you're not going to use your autocratic powers. It's one that is so strong that the people follow. So, in inspiring, it's not going to be cohesively. It's going to be you doing things rightly, saying things rightly, thinking things rightly, causing other people to do things rightly, say things rightly, think things rightly. You know, I'm sure some of you, when we go to maybe camp meeting and you see certain people say certain things about me, I mean, the men of God that come to maybe minister or something, they say something about me. Honestly, I don't even know that's what they think. because they never tell me. I think I was somewhere some time back and someone stood on the pulpit. I had stayed with him for a while. And he gave the people on the crowd and all of those what I do. I mean, I wanted to tell him that, oh, don't do that. I just stayed with you for a short while. Just a few things you are doing. And he stood there and he spilled out like, said, Prof, hey, Prof, if you stay with Prof, this is, and he started mentioning. But I didn't know he was looking at me. And I didn't know. But then I get to realize that it's like when I get up and I read my Bible, he also gets up and he reads his Bible. And I'm like, oh, okay. That means he watches something and he sees something and he says something. And he begins to do whatever it is that he sees. I stay with someone and, you know, sometimes I can just be calm. And the person was a very rushy, hard, consistent person. And I lived with the person for a couple of days. Then a few days time, the guy begins to talk to me. And I'm saying, where are you? I had to ask him, I said, where are you? Because, you know, you're wondering, I know you've been this, but why are you starting to talk like me? And why are you starting to, you know, be more calmer? I saw that there was something about influence in there. You don't tell them, read your Bible. You don't tell them, pray. You don't tell them, steady, fast, go for evangelism. Teach, love, give to help somebody that is in need. You in yourself become that example, and then you find out that the people are learning to, not because you are the special one, because they see it as right to do. So in your discipleships, there's something going to be about inspiring. Is the first trait I'm going to talk about, and I'm almost closing on that. You must be able to inspire people to follow you to church. Like your life in itself, the way you address issues, will just say that, oh, you know what, let me follow you. The ability to inspire. You move people from where they are to where they want to be. Your disciples they see you. And they can walk in the same steps. They can walk in the same steps. Because you are able to inspire. How many people can you get to church? How many people can you get to do things? How many people can you have an influence on? What's your inspiration on your disciples, in prayer, in the study of the word, in the love with which you exude. Inspire. Now, if I am your leader as a pastor, I should be able to inspire you. Inspire you to love God, inspire you to pray, inspire you to serve God, inspire you to want to give yourself for the work of a ministry. You know, I watched a video quite recently and I saw Bishop Dakiwa Mills praying, and I just said, oh boy, when I grow up, I want to be like you. Because I see that he's old, but you see him still moving. That inspires me. He has not spoken to me and said, hey, serve God, okay, serve God is going to help you. But no, when I just look at him, I just know I'm going to serve God till I'm old. Because at the sight of him is strong inspire. I'm inspired. Now, as a leader, look out for your ability to inspire. Now, hold on, Inspire, not impress. Should put some caution in there. Inspire, not impress. When you impress, you are searching for admiration. You are focusing on yourself. You are trying to seek applause. That is not good. Real inspiration, it brings transformation. There's a lasting effect on that. You don't pray. But when someone knocks on your door, Shaba Yaba Kamba Tuta Dabare Gebado Saba Yaba Kabayus Kaba Shaba. Hey, who are you? But why, who are you impressing? Join prayer. Who are you? Huh? It's like the guy, you don't have money, but then you want to show that you have money. Huh? Who are you impressing? No. Inspire. Your last 60 cities, use it to pick Uber for her. Not out of the context of love or working in love. Working in love is good, but out of it, it's not out of it. 60 cities. You know, those people, when they begin to walk, they pull their trousers up because they have a long walking journey. They've used all the 60 cities to pay for the sister. So they have to pull their trousers up like this. It means that walkings are going to start. She say, oh, I don't really have money for Uber today. You see. So, let's pick Trotro. How am I, where are you going to? Say, oh, I'm going to La Paz. Or I'm going to Kaswa. Or I'm going to Oyarifa. Oyarifa is just four cities. Five cities, something. Or seven cities. It's not more than. Let's pick Oyarifa. She said, but I can't walk to the main town. She said, oh, we'll get there very soon. Let's walk small. Small, it will not be long. And you walk, and you go and pick the trotto, you go. say as you should say, oh, you really inspire me. You really like to live under your means. But you, if you go, you are doing prayer, you say, oh, don't worry, let me just pick Uber for you. But tomorrow you don't have money to go to work. See, you are impressing, you are not inspiring. And that's a bad leader. You see, the ladies who like bad leaders, they lead you into thinking they have certain things that they know that they do not have. That's a bad leader. Yes. Me, I don't lie to myself. If you are a pastor and you don't have something, you should ask somebody who has it and humble yourself and collect it. Not that you pretend like you can do it, but you can't do it. Huh? Hmm? A lot of impressions. You see women wearing wig. A wig is more than your pay. See, this one you're not inspiring. Or you are. Wig is more than you have horse wig. Horse hair wig. Somebody who has died, you go and buy the person's wig. It's on you like we can't even see your face any longer. The wig covers your face. You are not leading well. You are not leading well. You are not leading. Before you realize your disciples too want to buy the wig you have because your wig is too expensive, and you see them that they are not able to sleep because their teacher has some kind of wig that they don't have. How are we going to get this wig? Huh? Teacher. Who are you impressing? You're supposed to be inspiring. Yeah. If you're around me, there'll be no pressure to do anything. Yes, I inspire you to live a pressureless life. There's no pressure. You don't have to be somebody to be something before I listen to you. In fact, I don't like to have some kind of people around me. Yes, you make me forget that God has called me from a humble place. You make me forget. Yes, you make me forget. And I don't want to forget. Yes. I was telling someone sometime, I said, I need some village boys around me. Yeah, I need some people, some kind of people around me. I was telling the person. Yes, I said, I need some kind of village people around me. Some caliber of people. I want them around me. So when I lift up my head and I look at her, I said, hey, don't forget. Now, God didn't call me from a village, but he just was keeping me not to forget. Yes. People who didn't go to school, I want them around me. Then I will take them to school. Then it reminds me that God is the one that has been helping you all this while. So when you live to impress, you're going to get into trouble. You live to inspire, you're going to be a blessing. So before we get out of here, what is your ability to inspire like? And that's why stories that are inspirational are stories of people who have been in the low. And they come and sit on TV and say, you know, when I was 9 years, I didn't have parents. I wore one shoe for 6 years. 6 years, the next shoe, I wear one thing for this. That's where God now sent me to this senior high school. I was first. I got into tech. I was those are the stories. When you listen to them, then you see that it's inspiring. You know, it gives a certain form of, it's possible for me to. So in your discipleships, one of the things God has put on the inside of you is the ability to inspire. You are going to be an example. It comes by first being an example. You're an example. Example in the things you say. Example in the way you live. Example in the how you handle your things. example, in the way you go about issues, the way you love people, the way you understand, the way you go about, you know, carrying yourself. You care about everybody that is around. You show some kind of interest in people. You are intentional about people. You know how to, you know, more like you know how to flow very well. You know, see someone who has not eaten. You see it, pa, but you say, Namima ochina. Why? Ochina. Hey, inspirer. Namima ochina. You can't put something together. Huh? Sister, God give us tomorrow. May God is the shadow of turning. He is the same God that will give us something to eat tomorrow. The Lord help you in the name of Jesus. Sister, let's hold our hands. Let's pray. Let's believe God. Let's believe God. Tomorrow by this time, God will make a way in the name of Jesus. Hey, inspirer, please, let's be serious. You see, we're going to be very intentional. And I'm saying this because God has put that on the inside of you. He's put that on the inside of you. Jesus was a very serious, inspiring man. He inspired his disciples to preach. He inspired his disciples to, hey, listen to me. He inspired his disciples to preach. He inspired his disciples to live their faith. Follow me. That's an inspirer. Somebody cannot even follow you. Say the person will say, hey, she doesn't go to church herself. So how am I going to follow her? Huh? He doesn't pray. How am I going to disciples to follow him? Cause his disciples to listen to him, cause his disciples to believe that he was God, because he was God, huh? And caused his disciples to even die for him. Yes, that, because he died himself. He first died, huh? And he caused the disciples to die after him. Yes, none of the disciples died a very nice, wonderful death. All of them died useless. Sorry to say, I mean, useless in the context of sad death. But that is an inspirer. One of them even said, no, I'm not worthy to be hit on the cross in the same way. So you people don't hit me like that. My Jesus was not hit like that. Turn my cross upside down. So my head is going to be down. My legs are going to be up. We are all going to be dead for him. We're all going to die. Yes, we are all going to die. All of us, we are all going to die. Huh? We are all, everybody's going to die. Some kind of death. Some kind of death. Yeah, we are all going to die. Yes. Told you that there was a man who, who founded Yonggi Cho's ministry, Dr. Yonggi Cho's ministry. Yes, only he was an important founder. I'll call it like that. There's a word like that. If there's no word like that, there's a new word like that. Founder, not founder. A new founder. He founded Dr. Yonggi Cho's ministry. And so one day, a great man of God went into the office to say he thought that the founder would fund his ministry too. So he went and he said that, please, I want to be your friend and be my friend. And he said, the founder just told him that, hear me, even one city or one peswa or two cities, or I will not give you. Yes, it was Bishop Dark. He told him that even two cities, one peswa, I will not give you, because I've been called to fund Dr. Yonggi Cho's ministry. That's all. I don't know anything else than to do that. That's my assignment. Whether $1 million, $2 million, I don't know, but that's what I'm called to do. Yes. And it was proven by history. Dr. Yonggi Cho died the week later. He also died. Yes. Or is it that he died then the week later, Dr. Yonggi Cho? The work is finished. That's finished. The work has finished. When he died, now he too, he died. That's all. What is your ability to inspire like? Means that the work has finished. If he's going for crusades, $2 million, he will just pay $2 million. Don't worry about anything. But you've died now, I've finished. I've died too. You are gone, I'm also gone. That's all. The work has finished. You must begin to inspire in your discipleships. Inspire the people to go to church. Inspire the people to join in on prayers. Inspire the people to... You will have to be able to inspire. I'm going to teach you the things that will help you inspire in our next teaching. But then, there is that trait on the inside of you. So what I'm telling you to do is draw out of what you have on the inside of you. Begin to draw out. Begin to draw out. There are some people who inspire wrongly. They can smoke weed in a way that when you see them, you would like to smoke the weed. The way they do it, the way they... You say, hey, if I do it, it'll be nice. And then before you realize, somebody is smoking weed. Because the person inspired them by their skill of smoking. The skill, there's a way they pull in the tampe, they put it in their body, and they pull it out, put it in their ears, pull it out of their nose. It's coming from everywhere. It's not beautiful. It's inspiring. One who has tampe coming out of the ears and nose all together. If you see it, you say that maybe I can try it too. You see, so the devil has also wrong inspiration. Some of you see things and you want to dress in a certain way. You want to look in a certain way. You want to expose certain parts because you are being inspired negatively. But your ability to inspire is going to be of God in discipleship. So bringing it to a close, you have the ability to inspire. It's the first trait of leadership in discipleship. You're going to be inspiring. Inspire the people. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for everyone here. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to be good inspirers. Yes, going to inspire people. Inspire people by our life, by the things that we say, the way we think, the way we carry ourselves around. And by this, we're going to have greater influences of the gospel as we preach. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.